Planning Commission meeting of February 11th to order. I noticed that we have a lot of citizens with us today. We're very glad to see you. For those of you who may not have attended a Planning Commission meeting previously, let me go over a few key points. First of all, we want to ask everyone to please turn off or put your phones on mute. I know, everybody does the pat down to find it. And our process is that we will bring forth an item of the agenda, then we will ask anyone who would like to speak in favor of that item. You may come down to the podium to speak. We will ask you to please state your name and address for the record. And then we will ask anyone who will be in opposition so that everyone will get an opportunity to speak. Given that I'm sure everyone in the room would like to get home before the roads become too treacherous, I will ask that we try to be as succinct as possible. If someone speaks to a point that is near and dear to you and you would like to support it, you don't have to repeat everything that's been said. You can merely come forward and state your support for it, and that would be helpful. Then it will be back to the commission, and the commission will make a motion and vote on whether to recommend this or not. For purposes of clarification, let me remind everyone that no final decisions are made here this evening. The Planning Commission is a recommending body. So the motion and the vote that we take will be on a motion that we recommend an item to the City Council, and City Council will make the final decision on the issue. So if something does not go the way you would like it, you will have an opportunity to address City Council as well on the issue. All right, so first and foremost, then, our first action is approval of the January 14th work session and regular meeting minutes. May I entertain a motion to do so, please?
Yeah, Madam Chairman, I recommend that we approve the minutes as read.
Second.
All in favor? All right, thank you. There being no old business, we'll move to new business. We have had a request that item B on your agenda be moved up. We'll start by discussing the capital improvements program, because several of the city employees who may be called on to speak to this item want to get out there and begin their work to prepare the roads for the weather. So we have the capital improvement budget and the prioritization of those items. Is there anyone to speak in favor of this? Richard.
I'm Richard Pierce. I'm the Aiken City Manager, and appreciate the opportunity to come back before the Planning Commission. And we appreciated the opportunity to be at the work session last month. Chiefly, I'm just here to answer questions. I do know that you have a particular item. There's $4 million for the Hitchcock Parkway project that appears on the capital projects list. And we did not cover this in the work session, just for further information for Planning Commission. That $4 million was voted on in the third round of 1 cent sales tax money. That money was used to leverage a grant from the State Infrastructure Bank for $9.5 million for the project. And that in turn matches $13 million that are in the State Transportation Improvement Program funds. So the total funding at this point is $26,500,000 for the project. There's additional 1 cent sales tax money committed by Aiken County, but not in an ascertained amount at this point. So I think we show the $4 million on the list that you have, but there are other funds, and the voters, city residents by a 60% margin, voted that money for that project. So that's just some additional information for the commission, Madam Chairman, and we had a public information meeting back December 5th. And there has been some question in the past about the methodology for the project. Again, for the commission's information, the current methodology for the project is a capacity-driven project. We've had information from South Carolina Department of Transportation and also from representatives working for W.R. Tool Engineering that the road capacity as designed, as it's out there today, is for 16,000 annual average daily trips over the stretch of road. Traffic counts and traffic models show that certain sections are already in the 17,000 range, some other sections as high as 19,000 cars per day. I mentioned the December 5th meeting because there were 320 people who attended that meeting. And of that amount, there were 46 comments which stated that that purpose and need for the project should be changed. There is no movement afoot to change that methodology for the project. So what is going forward is SCDOT is preparing a design for the road, and they anticipate having a public meeting sometime in the fall. That being said, I didn't know if the commission had any other questions about any other project, and again, I appreciate the commission suffering my informal attire, but we've been out in the field today, and it's getting mighty cold out there.
It is, and we're eager to let you go back out there and make our roads safe. Commissioners, are there any questions for Mr. Pierce?
Yep. Mr. Pierce, well, you indicated that the county had the input or financial interest that the county was going to provide was how much?
There's not a predetermined amount, Mr. McMichael. There are six different projects that are listed and a total of $13 million committed to all six projects, but it is not broken out by dollar amount at this point.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions for Mr. Pierce? All right.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else that has any comments in favor of this item? Right. Is there anyone who would like to be heard in opposition to this item? Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Bob Gilbert. I live on Huntsman Drive. This is not exactly opposed. And when you say this item, Madam Chairman, are you referring
capital,
to
the entire
list?
Capital, yes, the entire capital.
Mr. Pierce, of course, zeroed in on Hitchcock Parkway.
Right.
Which happens to be, coincidentally, the reason I chose to attend the meeting today. As you may be aware, there are quite a large number of citizens that have some profound misgivings about the current plans for Hitchcock Parkway. We characterize it as transforming it from a parkway into a freeway. And as a result of that, a group of us got together and put some material together for the purpose of expressing in a very summary way what some of those misgivings are. I'm here tonight because I drew the short straw in that group of people that has put this together.
Short would be the operative word.
Right. Is that encouragement for? So I'm going to run through this rather rapidly. I certainly invite questions, comments, challenges as we go through it.
All right, that's appropriate.
There are a group of quantitative reasons why we think the freeway proposal is a bad idea, and there are a group of qualitative reasons. By the numbers, as we say here, I'll quickly go through these. These all have meaning. The first set, all those negative numbers, reflect the reduction in traffic volumes on Hitchcock Parkway year 2012 compared with the year 2010. This is right out of the city's commission level of service report that's prepared every 2 years. You're probably familiar with it. The next three numbers there have to do with volume to capacity ratios that were also calculated in that same level of service report. The lower the number, the better the traffic conditions on a roadway. The 0.85 is the average volume to capacity, volume of traffic divided by theoretical capacity of the four segments of Hitchcock Parkway, 4.9 miles in total, 0.85. 1.34 is actually, it's the worst roadway in Aiken in terms of volume to capacity, in terms of being over capacity. That happens to be the stretch of Whiskey Road from South Boundary to Boardman. And the 58% is the amount that number is in excess of Hitchcock Parkway. So one might ask the logical question, well, if the concern is about volume of traffic, why not focus on that piece of roadway? That's by far the worst in Aiken. And we're not advocating destroying that piece of roadway, as is going to happen to Hitchcock Parkway if this plan is followed through. But we are saying give Hitchcock Parkway some of the same respect that's given to that section of roadway, and therefore it's not being turned into a freeway. Richard Pierce alluded to these numbers before. These are the single two numbers that are being used to justify this project now. 18,000 vehicles per day is the calculated average daily volume. 16,000 vehicles per day is the calculated theoretical capacity of the roadway, as calculated by DOT using a secret formula that they will not divulge the contents of. 22 seconds. Some people have complained they get on the 55-mile-an-hour part of Hitchcock Parkway, which happens to be 1.5 miles long, and they get behind a truck, and they can only go 45 miles an hour, for example. Well, 22 seconds is how much time you save if you drive 55 miles an hour versus 45 on that stretch of roadway. Sounds kind of silly. 48,000 people, that is the impact on the reductions at the Savannah River site, estimated, of course. 16,000 reduction in force times the average family size is about three people. 1 million square feet of pavement is going to be added if this project proceeds as on its current path. 31 million additional gallons of runoff from the roadway will be generated. The current official estimated cost for this project, prepared by the ARTS Planning Group, Augusta Regional Transportation Study, is $43.6 million. Compare that with the number that Richard Pierce gave you a few moments ago with respect to available funding. There's a $17 million shortfall in funding. As a result of that, this project has been divided into two phases, and I question the legality of doing that. That is, embarking on a large project, breaking it into pieces in order to fit under the funding guidelines. Anyway, there's a $17 million shortfall in the official estimate. The next part of this has to do with the problem with maintenance statewide as well as in this county and city. There are 36 bridges in Aiken County that are rated as structurally deficient. There's no money to work on them. There are another 18 that are rated as functionally obsolete, over which 141,000 vehicles per day pass. That's a problem. So where is the sense of priorities? South Carolina ranks fourth in the state in terms of miles of roadway to maintain, 40th in terms of land area. There's a $29 billion backlog of maintenance, and we have it right here in Aiken. This project is going to be a 15 to 20-year project. That's because it's that far out in the future, because phase two, for which there's no money, cannot start until at least the year 2025. Somewhere between the year 2025 and 2035. So we'll have half a freeway for a long period of time. 19 neighborhoods will be affected, 5 churches, got a golf course, an elementary school, and of course Hitchcock Woods. Well, we seem to have a technical glitch. Anything over on your side, Paul? Okay, I don't know, it's disappeared. Okay, well, do you want to go ahead and hear from somebody else?
Would you like to finish your comments without the PowerPoint?
No, I'd like to finish them.
Okay. All right, now we're totally shut down.
Madam Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Going back to your first slide, I didn't quite catch the figure and the reference to Savannah Riverside.
Of 48,000 people affected, that consists of 16,000 employees that are no longer employed there, and then times three, the average family size. So that's certainly not to say all those people live in Aiken or travel on Hitchcock Parkway, but obviously that's a major impact on the economic situation as well as traffic generally.
36% of those employees live in Augusta.
What do you mean 48,000 people affected? So what?
Well,
up or down, good or bad, right or wrong, so what?
Well, that's balanced against new businesses coming to Aiken. So, you know, you hear about, well, there's a business that's been a factory that's going to employ 300 people.
Okay. Right, right.
And okay, well, that automatically conjures up a vision of more traffic, okay? And the point here is that there's a huge offsetting factor for those increases. I mean, the more people in general that we have in Aiken, you would expect the more traffic there's going to be.
Correct.
But we have less people now as a result of the Savannah River site.
Are you saying we have 16,000 less people at the Savannah River site?
No, what I'm saying is that there are 16,000 people that were employed there that are no longer employed.
You're going from the maximum employment to the current employment.
Yeah, over the past few years.
Okay.
Over the past,
okay. You're saying there was a maximum of 25, and now there's 10,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
Okay, I got you.
I understand your context. I just didn't initially. But thank you very much.
Have you factored in that not all of those employees were residents of Aiken County?
And that's the point I made. I said in answer to his question, not all of them live in Aiken.
Right.
Not all of them travel Hitchcock Parkway.
Right.
So nobody can say what the precise impact is.
Right.
But in general, you know, we're adding some employees and we're subtracting a whole lot of employees.
Okay, get out of that. Ladies, will this be a few more minutes before we're up and running?
Probably, yes.
Okay. Well, then, if you'd like to remain or sit, I'll take the next person. Is
sure.
There another person? Actually, there's a lady right behind you, sir, that's... Please come forward if you want to address us.
It's right here.
What's pertinent to...
All right, if you'll step up there and give your name and address.
Valerie Oxendahl, 33 Carnoustie, Aiken.
Thank you.
What's pertinent to his remark is that the original study was based very much so on the amount of employees at Savannah Riverside that would use that roadway. And we've gone down from 32,000 employees down to 11,000 with more cuts.
Okay.
So it's a very significant number.
Okay, thank you. I think we understood that now.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah. All right, yes, sir.
I'm Jet Beckham. I live at 188 Governor's Lane, and I do oppose the funding of the Hitchcock Parkway. However, I oppose the funding of basically all of these so-called wish lists by taxpayers' money, especially sales tax, which is the most unfair, biggest hoax that have been pulled on the people of the county and state. In 1951, sales tax was implemented for the basically for funding education, and since then, it's gone from 3% to 6%, which doesn't sound too bad when you think of 1951 to 2014. However, we've had inflation over that period of time about 400%, so you wonder why you would even have to have raise sales tax at all. Like I always wonder about real estate agents, why they raise that. They always keep the commission about 5 to 7%, although houses, when I first bought my first house, it was $18,000, and now the average house is $250,000 and up. So why would you need to raise the percentage? Same thing goes with sales tax. Why we keep raising the sales tax when everything goes up? When I was a kid, I can remember selling gas for 25 cents a gallon. Now it's $3.01, and we're paying sales tax on that. So why would you need to keep increasing sales tax? Sales tax, the hoax is people don't understand what sales tax. They don't realize that it's being taxed. And you see in the paper, they always say, we have this 1 cent sales tax. It's no 1 cent. It's 3% of what you buy. And I don't think the average person...
With all due respect, we're not voting on a sales tax here this evening. So I appreciate your comments, but if you could be relevant
to
the budget.
Yeah, but you've got to relate this to the whole picture. So I'm looking at the big picture. The big picture is we're getting this money in from taxpayers, and the politicians are using it to bypass raising taxes. They run for office and they never say to raise taxes, but they spend money. So, you know, I want to hear a politician come in and say, I'm going to raise taxes because we're going to have to spend. And nobody says that. They say, we're not going to raise sales taxes. They think we're stupid. They're not going to raise they're not going to raise taxes, but they're going to spend. So that's the point I'm trying to get across there. And I think this whole thing should be, all these things we have on here, don't do any of them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Gilbert, are you ready to resume?
Sure. I think we should ask that question of the computer, actually.
Oh, thank you. What's your magic? Okay, well, those by the numbers, that was the sort of the quantitative part of it. And I want to briefly get into the qualitative aspects of this. You all probably recognize this. It's from the Aiken Comprehensive Land Use and Transportation Plan. And the point of the next three slides I'm going to show is that it seems to many of us, those that are profoundly concerned about this, that this is not consistent with the current plan to turn Hitchcock Parkway into a freeway. So some of the key words have been highlighted there. You can see them for yourself. Again, it doesn't seem to us like what's being proposed is at all consistent with this plan. And there are some more key thoughts along the same lines. So road widening should take into account the effect on the character of the city, and the movement of motor vehicles should not be the only factor in determining when road projects. That seems to be absolutely the only factor that's being considered with respect to Hitchcock Parkway. And to illustrate this qualitative, something's not quite right here. Bear with me a second. Yeah, okay. Further illustration of our qualitative concerns, some photographs that were taken on Tuesday, October 22nd, between the hours of 6 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Hitchcock Parkway. I did not airbrush out vehicles. This is the way it appeared when I was out there between 3 and 6 p.m. So this looks like a parkway, right? All those trees are gone when the freeway's installed. There's Aiken Elementary School, which, by the way, has a crying need for a traffic signal. That is a very dangerous intersection. Okay, and then as far as the freeway is concerned, projecting out to the year 2030, which is likely when phase two will get done, if a whole bunch of more money can be found somewhere, took some pictures of DOT's previous projects here around Aiken. This is what it's going to look like. Five lanes, barren. This happens to be East Pine Log Road, in case you didn't recognize it. This is Rudy Mason Parkway. This is another, this is the Palmetto Parkway. One of the great features that we're going to enjoy is lots of retaining walls. So this is what the future is going to look like. And quickly, I want to go through a few myths that have been propagated with respect to this project. The first one is, there is a justification that was submitted to get funding for this project that Richard Pierce previously alluded to. And this is the document. I'd be happy to share this with any of you. This was transmitted sometime in the year 2007. There's actually no date on it. The title of it is Interstate 20/SRS Access Improvement Proposal. This proposal is graphically illustrated here, if you can follow along with me. There's Interstate 20. There's the Savannah River site. This proposal says we need an additional four-lane pathway from Interstate 20 to the Savannah River site. And that proposal is the red arrows here. The idea is to four and five lane this whole pathway from Route 19 down to Whiskey Road. And Hitchcock Parkway is this part of it right here. So this is a part of a grand plan, you know, I don't know, $200 million or so. Hitchcock Parkway is the first piece of this. Now, this makes no sense at all to me for three very fundamental and clear reasons. The first reason is that we taxpayers in the past, 5 years, spent $260 million right over here on the Palmetto Parkway. That provides a lightly traveled four-lane access directly on Route 125 down to the Savannah River site. It's a perfect access, and that's where all the hazardous waste, for example, goes. It's not going to go on Hitchcock Parkway. So $260 million spent on providing that linkage from I-20 to SRS. We taxpayers also in the recent past have spent tens of millions of dollars on the green loop around, the east loop around Aiken, four-laning that. US 1, much of Rudy Mason, not all of Rudy Mason, and then East Pine Log Road. So we spent all that money. The third reason it makes no sense is one I mentioned before, and that is the workforce at Savannah River site and the attendant work scope is way down from the time that this proposal was made. Myth number two. SCDOT cost estimates are believable and adequate funding has been secured. We have some recent evidence to bust that myth, and that's in the form of Silver Bluff Road Project, for which the final construction drawings have now been finished. And in a one-year period from 2012 to 2013, the cost of that project, based on final construction drawings, increased 42%. Hitchcock Parkway is in the very early stages of design, so there's a long way to go before we get to final construction drawings. In 2004, Hitchcock Parkway was to be a passing lane addition project. Cost was going to be $2 million. That cost, that price tag has now grown to 43.6, as I mentioned earlier, and there's a $17 million shortfall in funding. The funding doesn't exist. Now, we took this estimate for Silver Bluff Road, and we used that to estimate what Hitchcock Parkway would really cost based on the final construction drawings for Silver Bluff Road, and we arrive at a figure of $54 million. I don't think that's the end of it. That's $28 million more than available funding. Big funding gap. These are some of the factors that aren't even considered in that $54 million estimate between Silver Bluff Road and Hitchcock Parkway. All of these factors are either minor or none, a nil, in Silver Bluff, but they're going to be major factors for Hitchcock Parkway. So that's not even built into this $54 million estimate. So the sky's the limit. Myth number three, traffic volume data justifies the freeway. As I mentioned earlier, in fact, traffic volumes, according to the city's own study, decreased between the years 2010 and 2012. And there's some good reasons for that. I'll jump down to here. One of the good reasons is what I mentioned earlier about SRS reduction in work scope. The other good reason is that there are all kinds of stores and restaurants and other facilities on the west side of Aiken now. Also, there are lots of new medical facilities on the south side of Aiken. Both of those tend to reduce the traffic volumes on Hitchcock Parkway. Granted, there's still a lot of movement back and forth, but now, for example, if you live on the south side in Woodside Plantation, you don't necessarily have to go over to the hospital area to get medical treatment. There's lots of new development in that regard on the south side. As I mentioned earlier, a single data point is being used for justification. That's the 18,000 vehicles per day versus 16,000 theoretical capacity. No travel time studies have been done whatsoever. None. The key question for traffic engineers is how long does it take to get from point A to point B? That's the key question. Nothing has been done like that. Freeway required for safety. This is one of the favorite recent ones that's come up. But there's some really common sense, inexpensive safety enhancements that could be made. Additional traffic signals, coordination of traffic signals. They're completely uncoordinated now. It's amazing. If you ever study a little bit about traffic patterns on Hitchcock Parkway, it is terrible with respect to traffic signals. We need turning acceleration and deceleration lanes. Again, it just takes some thought and some ingenuity, some creative engineering. We could widen the existing lanes and widen the shoulders. We don't need to turn it into a freeway. Okay, and here's some evidence of the real safety picture with respect to Hitchcock Parkway. We got data from the South Carolina Department of Public Safety and agonizingly went through that data, and this is the initial findings. You can see we've identified several major roads. Whiskey Road there, a certain section, Richland Avenue, Whiskey Road again, York Street, Charleston Highway, Jefferson Davis Highway. Look where Hitchcock Parkway is on the list compared with these others. Accidents, injuries, and deaths. By the way, this is per mile of roadway, with the exception of deaths, which is total deaths over the length of the roadway that's evaluated. Hitchcock Parkway is way down on this list. If there are sincere safety concerns on the part of our public officials, there are other places that are much more important to look than Hitchcock Parkway. Myth number five, the freeway is required for smooth flowing traffic. If you ever drive the 18-mile loop around Aiken, of which Hitchcock Parkway is 4.9 miles of that, it is very clear that Hitchcock Parkway is already the freest flowing, fastest moving section. As I mentioned earlier, we need computer-controlled smart traffic signals, but they don't cost $50 million. And think about this. The impediments to traffic flow with respect to Hitchcock Parkway are not on the parkway itself. They're at the ends of the parkway. When you hit Silver Bluff Road on the one end, that's where the traffic problem is. On the other end, there used to be a traffic problem at 5 p.m. That's at US 1, Jefferson Davis Highway. Traffic turning left, going towards Augusta at the so-called rush hour, the 5 p.m. rush hour. Guess what? There was a wonderful solution. They added another left turn lane. The problem is solved. You can go out there at 5, 5:30 now, and there's no backup. Didn't cost $50 million. Contrary to what DOT says, there will traffic signals will have to be added on Hitchcock Parkway. It's amazing to me that they say they won't. And in case you're not aware of it, that 55-mile-an-hour zone that I talked about earlier, that's already been decided by City Council that it's going to be 45 in the future. So there goes your 22 seconds. Okay, myth number six. I hope I don't offend anybody, but I'm just being frank. Myth number six, a thorough job of planning has been done. Let's bust that myth right now. Where is the evidence of an effective HP planning process? There are four documents I'm referring to here briefly. First of all, South Carolina Code of Laws, Title 6, Chapter 29, addresses planning commissions, municipal planning commissions. It has words like careful and comprehensive surveys and studies, systematic preparation, wise and efficient use of public funds, consideration of the fiscal impact on property owners. I don't see any of that on Hitchcock Parkway. Comprehensive land use and transportation plan, I've already discussed that. These are just some more words that don't seem to be consistent with what the plan is. The 10-year capital improvements plan, quote, before any project is approved, sufficient funding must be identified. The funding has not been identified for this project. And then I raised the issue of the Doherty Road Corridor planning study, which was recently completed. Excellent study. Considered there were three consultants that I read worked on that. I thought it was a terrific study. Nothing like that's been done on Hitchcock Parkway. And yet Hitchcock Parkway is much more potentially destructive, costly, and certainly contentious. So where's the balance? I don't understand. Why all that effort applied to Doherty Road and essentially nothing to Hitchcock Parkway to look at alternatives to the freeway? That's the point. We're not saying don't do anything. We're saying look at the alternatives. That's what planning is all about. So our plea to you is let's get the horse in front of the cart and let's look at the real critical needs and alternative solutions so that our tax money, which is scarce, we understand, will be appropriately allocated before the projects are launched. But we don't allow Hitchcock Parkway to be ruined. Potentially very destructive, costly, complex, and contentious, and it deserves a thoughtful evaluation of the alternatives. You know, I can't imagine a businessman thinking about investing $50 million when only look at one possibility. It's beyond my comprehension. So, final appeal, Aiken's appeal. It's fragile, it needs to be protected. So we ask you, please take these thoughts into consideration as you deliberate on this.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. And before you leave, let me ask the commissioners. Let me ask the commissioners if they have any questions for you.
I'd just like to say it was a very interesting presentation.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I learned a few things.
Well,
certainly somebody has some challenges for me. I'm sure there must be some people that don't feel the way many of us do. No challenges? No? Okay.
It's really more of a question of our role in this. The baby's kind of in with the bathwater with with everything that we're looking over for the capital improvements. And I did have a question for the city manager again, but I'll wait a second.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. It's obviously a very well presented set of facts and information, and we appreciate your concern enough. Do you want me to call Richard back up?
Just for a second.
Okay. Mr. Pierce, would you mind stepping back up to answer a question?
Thanks, Richard. I was just curious what the... I want to fully understand the sales tax and the role of the voters in that vis-a-vis what we can and can't do in regards to this project and that money in the budget. In other words, the voters, I want to make sure I heard you right about the voters and where that money is supposed to go.
Right. It's a 1 cent sales tax, and it's dedicated to capital projects. And in the most recent round that was voted on in 2010, there was $4 million for Hitchcock Parkway widening. Now, this project has been on the list for widening for probably 20 years. It's come up to the top of the list. It fell to the bottom of the list. But it was always listed as a capacity project. There's two approaches to road construction. There's kind of a corridor improvements and safety consideration. That's one method. The other method is the capacity of the road. So, again, it's kind of a long answer to your question, but just to kind of give that background. It is true that in 2007, the book that Mr. Gilbert held up was for an application to the State Infrastructure Bank, and it did tout in that original application about connecting I-20 to the Savannah River site, and there were several highway improvement projects in there. Some of them have been done, like the Anderson Pond Road project and paving it, and several others are listed. This is one project amongst that list. So at the time of the vote in 2010, we had no funding by the State Infrastructure Bank. That happened in 2011. And in fact, the passage of the 1 cent sales tax, that created that $4 million hash of money, and the Infrastructure Bank board said they were very impressed by that local match, so that's why they committed the additional $9.5 million. So there was $13 million in the State Transportation Improvement Project. Originally, the project was estimated somewhere around $16 million. In December, when we had the December 5th meeting, DOT actually presented a concept plan that showed about a half, about 49% reduction in impact to the area for the project. And that actually lowered the estimate for the construction from the $43 million to about $31 million. And of course, City Council has voiced some concern about the concrete sidewalks that are on either side of the project, and that's estimated to be about $1 million cost. So, depending, we're somewhere, according to DOT, whether the sidewalks stay or not, somewhere between $30 and $31 million for the project. Again, there's $26.5 million committed, and that 1 cent sales tax money has to be used for Hitchcock Parkway widening. So if the project does not go forward, State Infrastructure Bank will not pay their money. And then if there's a change in the methodology of the project, that Transportation Improvement Fund money, again, it would drop back to the bottom of the list. So there is no change in the methodology for the project. So that means we have the $26.5 million, again, with an undesignated amount from the county towards the project as well. And of course, State Infrastructure Bank is receptive to any follow-up application based on the final design of the project. In 2012, there was a public information session at South Aiken High School, and that's when DOT presented their worst case scenario. And there was existing right-of-way that was a red line, then were yellow lines that were this worst case scenario, and that's when it went through like bell towers and church sanctuaries and people's living rooms and businesses, and everybody in the room was shocked. And that's why the city went forward with WR Tool Engineering, and we said, look, we don't know what DOT has shown us. Take a look, you know, do a traffic engineering study and give us your results. And as far as the road usage, the capacity of the road, they confirmed DOT's findings that the capacity of the road have been exceeded by current traffic levels. And I'm not sure that the consultants that we've used have said it's a 15 or 20 year project, because that $31 million figure I'm giving you is from Silver Bluff Road to U.S. Highway Number 1. That's the total project, not a phased project. So with that amount of money, we had this study done. And of course, we have had very careful review of the concept from the fall of 2012 that had the colors way outside of the lines. And again, the suggestions were a project that would be more within the existing right-of-way so that the impact to surrounding property owners would be as little as possible. And that was presented to SCDOT last summer, and they took that into consideration along with their redesign. The concept they showed on December 5th is not a design, it's just a concept. But they are working on the design now. There'll be another public hearing this fall. So the $4 million is committed to the Hitchcock Parkway widening. It can't be used for potholes. It can't be used for Whiskey Road. The city attorney's been very clear about that, because it was listed that way on the ballot, and that's where that money is to be spent.
Now, can it be used for some of the more creative things that Mr. Gilbert mentioned? Or?
You mean like the traffic signals, third lane?
Widening existing lanes, things like that. Just
widening existing lanes and widening the shoulders, creating a wider shoulder, turn lanes. Just
versus putting
that,
in for,
and that
versus
was part of the work that WR Tool Engineering did, mm-hmm. and that was included in their recommended concept that we submitted to DOT last summer. Deceleration lanes, turning lanes, that's all part of it. And again, what WR Tool submitted showed a landscape median, and the photographs you haven't seen tonight, of course, are the landscape medians that the city has maintained from the Richland Avenue Walmart down to the new Sam's location. We've been maintaining those medians for about 10 years now. And again, that's what we would envision the medians would look like on Hitchcock Parkway.
I would just, you've partially done it, Richard, partially explained to me, you know, the accusation of the charge from Mr. Gilbert here that there has been a tremendous and serious lack of planning. Answer that, if you would. You've partially answered it in your response there. If you would just enlighten us just a little bit more as to the aspects.
I think those of us in the room who went to South Aiken High in the fall of 2012 had a real shock to the system, because it really looked like an East Pine Log approach, just hardscape, nothing in the center, mm-hmm. nothing on the sides. And you know, council heard that message, and that's why we went with WR Tool. And it's a context-sensitive design approach to roadways, so that it looks like a parkway and not like a freeway. And again, we've filed all that with DOT, and a lot of those elements were present in the concept. I mean, they reduced the impact by 49%. We had given them ideas we felt that would reduce it another, up to another 25%.
And they were receptive to that?
They took it. They took most of it. They didn't take all of it. That we were disappointed
about.
By that.
That was since 2012. I remember that. How about fundamentally prior to that, the planning that went into the whole concept? Wasn't there a fairly significant amount of planning that went into the concept of the initial, when the ballot, for instance, when the ballot went out, there was planning at that point.
Yes, because you had the 2007 submission to the State Infrastructure Bank. And there is a description and discussion about Hitchcock Parkway. Quite frankly, the parkway was built in the mid-70s, and there was a lot of comment at the time, oh, it's two lanes. I think folks kind of expected it to be more than two lanes when it was originally built. And when we went back through the archives and looked, there were discussions in the 1980s, the 1990s, about the need for a wider road out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's been looked at and looked at and looked at again.
Me too. All right. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Mr. Pierce, the DOT has gone back to reassess, and they're going to bring us another proposal in
in the form of a concept plan? Is that
what they have provided thus far has been concept plans.
Okay.
And since there's not a change in the roadway methodology, it's a capacity project. Our understanding is they're actually preparing a road design, and there'll be a public hearing on that in the fall.
Okay. And what are they? Did they take into account the public input that
yes.
they had in the last as part of their?
Yes. And again, the concept they presented December 5th had the participation rate, the 320
right.
people who came, and I think they provided about 390 comments in total. So all of that is required to be considered by Federal Highway Administration.
So we really, at this point in time, only thing we know is that we have a certain amount of money set aside for this project. We don't know what the project is going to look like or how it's going to be designed at this point in time.
We do not have a design at this
right.
time. Exactly right. Okay. This concept.
Thank you. That adds some clarity.
You. Thank you very much.
All right.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you. All right. Sir, I believe you're next.
My name is Tom Dean. I've lived in Aiken for 24 years. I think the statement that the all design criteria have been considered is not correct. All alternatives have not been considered because all the plans so far have been in this straitjacket of capacity improvement only. And what we're asking as a group is that they change this criteria to corridor improvement, which allows the evaluation of all suitable alternatives. Now, widening a parkway doesn't mean just four lanes. It could be an extra uphill lane, making it a three lane, would improve capacity and traffic movement. But as we said, the main tie-ups are at the intersections with Silver Bluff and Route 1. It's not the rest of the road. Another consideration that needs to be included is, I believe, the state transportation criteria states now that safety must be a primary consideration of road improvements for major projects. As you can see from Bob Gilbert's presentation, safety is not one of the major items involved in the Hitchcock Parkway expansion compared to other places in Aiken County. So I'm fully in agreement with Bob Gilbert's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. If you'll wait one moment, sir.
Sure.
Are there any questions from the commissioners for Mr. Dean? Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
My name's Sherry Norton. I live at 544 Woods Bend Drive in Surrey Woods. And I agree with everything that Bob Gilbert has said. And one of the things that we want is to change this from right now. You asked if it was set in stone what they were doing, but it is sort of set in stone that it's got to be 4 to 5 lanes and all because it's called capacity driven, and that's one of the things that they said it has to be that way. If it were changed to corridor and operational improvements, then we could do a smaller scope thing with passing lanes and turn lanes, traffic lights, and so forth. And I know that we've been told about this $4 million has to be used for what they said it was. But that $4 million is nothing compared to the total cost. I mean, we're going to spend $50 million just because of some $4 million agreement. What I read was that just because if you did decide to use the money a little differently, it doesn't necessarily mean that the project's going to drop to the bottom of the thing. What I read was that ARTS would re-rank it once you change the purpose or if you wanted to repurpose the money, that it would be re-ranked. And that doesn't necessarily mean they'd put it at the bottom of the list. And I don't think that just because funds have been are available that you necessarily have to spend them all, because this money's coming from taxpayers and it's our hard-earned money. Also, as far as planning goes, the main point of congestion, all of the areas were rated in the level of service report from 2012 as acceptable traffic flow. And all except for the one segment, which is around the Dibble Road area. Well, it's funny that this area from Huntsman down to Route 1, which includes Dibble Road, is the segment they've chosen to not do anything about until 2025. So if you really were concerned about this so-called congestion, why would you pick the one segment that is congested and put it off till 2025? That makes no sense at all. That area there, but also, to me, the only thing they need to do, the main thing they need to do at Dibble Road is to put a traffic light in. Right now, if they widen the road to 4 to 5 lanes and people are trying to come out Dibble Road and turn left with horse trailers, they're going to get creamed without a traffic light. But SCDOT has said, has resisted putting a traffic light there due to insufficient traffic volume. Well, if there's not enough traffic at the most dangerous intersection of the whole parkway to warrant even a traffic light, then why do we need to have this whole huge project? So increased traffic volume, Bob talked about that. Actually, there was a decrease on Hitchcock Parkway. There are streets with great increases in traffic volume, like Edgefield Highway, Whiskey Road, Centennial Avenue, Richland Avenue West, East Pine Log, Rudy Mason Parkway, and West Pine Log. Hitchcock Parkway had a decreased volume of traffic, so they decided we needed to widen it. The overall traffic volume in Aiken as a total has been on decline in recent years. According to the Level Service Report, traffic volume in Aiken as a whole declined from 2008 to 2010 by more than 4%, and from 2010 to 2012 by almost 7%. And we touched on some of the reasons, and probably too, like internet shopping and so forth, that why the traffic has been going down as a trend. And I did find it interesting in looking at the safety slide that Bob had put up, that the one with the greatest number of traffic accidents per mile was Whiskey Road from Odell Weeks Center to the Tractor Supply, and also Richland Avenue West came in second. And both of these are four-lane roads. So, you know, if you're supposed to improve things by making it four-lane, why are the four-lane roads the ones with the most accidents? And I know that people supposedly voted on this at some point in time for this tax increase, but they probably weren't given a real choice. Why don't you have a vote where people can say, I want to either do this, you know, this big widening five-lane thing where we ruin everything, or we can, you know, do the tractor and corridor improvements and give them a choice. You know, if you just give people one choice, they tend to, you know, just go with the flow and say do it. But anyway, I think that we should go for targeted improvements, and I've heard there's no money currently budgeted for landscaping the project, including the proposed median, and I'm just wondering if this parkway is going to become an ugly scar on the entire south side. I'm kind of thinking about the new Lawrence Street Bridge, and is this indicative of the way this thing is going to end up looking? And I would hope that we would have a thorough examination of problems, evaluation of alternatives along with all the pros and cons, with no predetermined outcomes or desires to use up money clouding the decisions. So, thank you.
Okay. We'll stay on this side and come around. So I think there's a lady in the back.
Liz, while she's approaching, could I ask the planning director a quick question? Or would
please
you like
do.
To be late?
No, please do.
I'm just still trying to discern, and Richard Pierce was very helpful, that the funds as budgeted right now, can or can those not be used for some of the things that the residents have been voicing their concerns about? targeted improvements versus a, you know, widening per se, things like that.
Not to evade the question, but this whole issue really is at the city manager, city council level, and I think Richard is the appropriate person to answer those types of questions.
Okay.
And he's more knowledgeable than I am.
All right. Well, we'll certainly take your comments, and then I'll ask Mr. Pierce to return, have a return engagement.
Thank you. I'm Rose Hayes, and I live at 616 Colleton Avenue. I originally came here because of my concern for the impact on the Hitchcock Parkway impact on the woods. I was unaware that the employment at SRS was one of the important variables in determining what to do about the Hitchcock Parkway. I can speak to that issue because I'm a Department of Energy member of the Site-Specific Advisory Board for SRS, and I do not speak for the board this evening, but I just happen to have quite a lot of information after several years on that board. If in the planning, Hitchcock Parkway's employee population is going to be a significant factor, then whoever is doing the planning and making the decisions need to understand what the government's plan for SRS is. SRS is currently part of the Department of Energy's nuclear complex cleanup program. It's scheduled to take place over 40 years. Several years have already gone by at a taxpayer cost of $300 billion. And as for SRS, the target date to complete the cleanup is 2034. The programs out there that I'm sure most of you are familiar with because they're in the paper all the time are the major employers of the population, the working population. For instance, the tank farm. Under a federal facilities agreement, the tank farm cleanup will be completed in 2022. They are behind, but they're still, our governor is saying they will stick to that schedule or she's going to sue the pants off of them. Another big project out at SRS that employs quite a lot of people is the infamous MOX program. That's under construction. When the construction is finished, people will go away. These are people that are kind of temporarily employed. And, of course, MOX still has not produced any customers, so if there are never any customers, then the construction may even not be completed. But the population at SRS is a flux population, and the government's plan is for all of that cleanup program to be done in the next couple of decades, which is going to affect how much traffic comes and goes from the site. Granted, the site has a kind of a future projected soft plan called Enterprise SRS, but there's nothing in stone about that at all. And again, you know, the government's plan is that there be very little traffic coming and going from SRS in the future, just in case that, in fact, is part of the planning for this improvement project. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hayes, before you leave, let me ask if the commissioners have any questions for you.
Sorry.
That's all right. Okay, thank you very much. All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Mr. Pierce.
No, Madam Chairman, I don't need to trouble Mr. Pierce again. Unless someone else did that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Pierce. We have another question for you. Well, you're getting your exercise anyway.
We'll get your blood warmed up before you head outside. So I just want to clarify, and this is to clarify for me, maybe other people on the other commissioners and maybe people in the audience, that as Planning Commission, am I correct in assuming that our role is to vote on the money in the budget program, in the capital improvement program, and rather than being involved in the details of this specific project?
Right. By state law, we bring the capital projects list to you every year. And again, the $4 million is the money that is actually the city anticipates collecting. And I failed to complete a circle earlier. The original application in 2007 did talk about traffic flow to Savannah Riverside. Of course, by the time of our resubmission in 2011, we talked about the Bridgestone announcement and the major expansion that they were undertaking, as well as MTU America and their announcement and their expansion. So that's what we brought to the attention of the State Infrastructure Bank. We didn't rely solely on SRS and certainly have the additional announcements. But yes, what we're here tonight about is the $4 million. And the voters have already voted that it goes to that project. So as far as the design of the project and the features that are in it, certainly some of what the audience here tonight is talking about is included. I think what I'm hearing from the audience is a change in method to the approach where you just do passing lanes and just do turning lanes. That is not what DOT is working on. They're working on a capacity project. So it's a road widening project at this point, which is the way it was put on the ballot for the $4 million. The $4 million helped us obtain an additional $9.5 million from the State Infrastructure Bank. So, and that, it's always been listed as a capacity project, all these really many decades.
So, Mr. Pierce, to Commissioner DeBrule's point then, it is not within the purview of the Planning Commission to alter this from a capacity project.
No, you're simply approving the $4 million dedicated towards this project, whatever that winds up being. You know, roads are kind of a complicated thing in this state, and we've been talking about this for at least 18 months, so quite a long time. And really longer if you take into consideration the State Infrastructure Bank application. But the point is, the $4 million got us the $9.5 million that matched the $13 million existing, with an eye towards trying to complete the entire project Silver Bluff to U.S. number one. We're here tonight about $4 million and making sure that the Planning Commission, as part of that long list of capital projects that we have, stuff for public safety, for parks, recreation, and tourism, and engineering and utilities, is approved so that we can go forward with our budgeting.
If you again, not to get too technical with it, Richard, but if you there's these two classifications. There's the capacity classification, and then there's this corridor improvement classification in a very general sense that the highway department's concerned with.
That's right.
If you move it from the capacity to the corridor improvement, they're going to reassess it.
Yeah, the officials with the State Infrastructure Bank have already told us they would have to go through an entire review.
Correct.
Because the scope of the project changes. Then DOT has been very clear at several public meetings that it wouldn't be re-ranked. It would drop to the bottom of the list.
That was my understanding. My understanding was they might call it a re-ranking, but in reality what's going to happen is it's not going to happen for years, way long time.
So after many years of walking this through,
right,
with the STIP money, with the capital project sales tax money, the 1 cent, and then with the State Infrastructure Bank, then we're much farther down the road, if you will, with the funding. But that $4 million is a key component.
It is. It's kind of the seed money, if you want to call it that.
A local match.
A local match. And if it got into rerouted into another category, I'm all for saving. I'm as much for saving taxpayer money as anybody.
Sure.
But that money that's allocated is going to be spent. It's not like that money's going back in, it's not going to be spent. It's going to go to Greenville, or it's going to go to Charleston, or it's going to go to Columbia, or it's going to go somewhere.
They were all in the room.
They're all in there.
Talking about these projects.
So you,
and the infrastructure bank, too, they did money for Hitchcock Parkway, for Doherty Road at Whiskey, and then for the University Parkway between Richland and Robert M. Bell Parkway. The total funding was $13.5 million. But this was all part of that original series.
Yeah, yeah.
Any, does that answer the questions? All right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is James Brinkley.
I'm sorry.
207 Park Avenue. Been here 24 years. I've been here 60. I remember where you live right out there was nothing but woods before anything was there, before Aiken was a place to retire, before Aiken was just like it is. I got a question to ask. I guess I'd have to direct it.
You have to direct it to
Chris. Yeah, I know, right, to Mr. Evans. How much of the parkway is in the city limits, of the Hitchcock Parkway? Is in Aiken city limits?
All of it.
All of it. How much of Rudy Mason Highway is in the city limits?
Not all of it.
Not most of it, but the majority of it's not.
Correct.
Right. How much of East Pine Log Road down the pictures that were shown is in the city limits?
Most of it.
Most of it.
Right.
Okay. But what he was showing, Hicks, was Rudy Mason is mostly not out of it. What I'm trying to say is, what you see at the end of the parkway where you turn on number one, Sam's was made to do that by the highway department. I mean, the highway department did that. Sam's did it for the traffic flow. They did it on the other side. If you notice up there where on the parkway where the new subdivision that's going in there, they were made to do that. The highway department makes you, if you are a developer or anything, they make you do that. So that's the reason why it looks so nice and all. That is not one dime of your money directly. It's indirectly going to be yours. And all I'm saying is that as we in Aiken look at the way we're going to grow, you made a statement a while ago about Whiskey Road, the amount of traffic. That's because the amount of businesses are on there. There's no businesses to per se on the parkway. There's one liquor store and a quick shop. That's about it. Whereas you're comparing apples and oranges of where it is. Another thing, with the sands and the development that's going up on that hill over there, you're going to see a lot of the traffic that is on Whiskey Road diverted over to the other side, because nobody that's going to be working at Bridgestone is going to drive. It's better. I know it for people. It is faster to get from Augusta and Columbia to Bridgestone than it is to drive from South Aiken, New Ellington area, or the places that people can afford to work, to drive from over there to Bridgestone. You can get from, and they are living right now, the majority of people, you're talking about SRS is going down, Bridgestone's building every day. Those people are not moving into Aiken. Those people are in Columbia. Those people are in North Augusta. And those people are in Augusta. So you don't have to worry about your town, because those people and the development own, that's the reason why Sam's went over there. That's where your development is. That's where they see. If you want to see your south side, you're worried about the south side. You don't see people building that many on the south side anymore. You go, it's on that other side. But if at the south side businesses want anybody there, the only way to get there, you can't go through town. Or you can go all the way around. Nobody will do that. That is the fastest way to do it. And if you look at the growth of Aiken, how it's going to be, you just leave it alone, and it will shrink, and you'll have exactly what you want. You'll have one little bottleneck like it is going into Aiken. The people want it. The Sam's decided, because of the same reasoning, they didn't want to go to the south side, they didn't. Sam's is now in the county, not in the city of Aiken. The next growth is not going to be in the city of Aiken. It's because we didn't want it. They said, well, we're going to find a place we want. The growth is going to be out there in that area. It's coming. So you don't have to really worry, but That road eventually, if you go to Columbia County, Go all around you. Go to Augusta, go to Columbia, go to North Augusta. They're growing, they're growing, there are people going in there. Aiken's going to be the same, it's fine. North Augusta, they're growing. And we're over here complaining about the rotting of the world. You better watch Aiken. And y'all going up, y'all applauding. 60% of the people voted for it. If you won't, go to the people and you convince the other people you don't want it. But 60% people voted. They want it. They aren't retired. They work for a living.
Thank you, Mr. Franklin. Any questions? Thank you very much.
I just have one. Mr. Brinkley, though, just as a quick point, though, would you agree or disagree, however, that Aiken does have a unique character, and that's why people do live here, and therefore something like North Augusta doesn't have the Hitchcock Woods, Columbia doesn't have the Hitchcock Woods, things like that. Would you agree or disagree, though, that we have a unique character that's very fragile, that something like this could be damaged?
But the trouble is, we have a planning and zoning, we have people that are there that watch that. For example, you're here. Anything. If people don't want it, it doesn't happen. I said Sands. It didn't want. They didn't want it there. It didn't happen. The people of Aiken keeps its character. I mean, you're thinking. I know the character. My family's been here 175 years. I know the character of Aiken. I got pictures of right back over here. They had. My family had cows right back here and chickens running around here. Their address was Lawrence Street because that's the way it was. Now, the character of Aiken, as you're saying, the character of Aiken will stay the same. All I'm saying is widening of a road is going to change the full character of a town.
Well, a big part of it.
It's going to change it, right? Well, if that's what's going to change the character of Aiken, Aiken's got a problem. The problem is what point are you going to reach when people are going to say, I don't believe I want to move to Aiken because I want to move on down the road. I'm saying it's got a particular character. We're guarding the character. Fine. 1966, wasn't it? Well, I'm understanding. But, I mean, it's got a character. And keep it. Keep it. Make sure it keeps. 60% of the people voted for it. Correct?
You are correct.
Okay. In my understanding of democracy, majority rules.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right.
It'll take a moment. Yes, sir.
I'm Tom Dean again. I think the majority of people probably saw the widening statement. It didn't state that it was going to be four lanes and five lanes and $43 million total. Now, one question I have is, what is the enabling document, or what's the overarching study of the parkway that got it on the list? I understand there was one for Doherty Road. Where is that document for this project? And the second item is, a project supposed to be on the list is supposed to be fully funded. We're at least $16 million short. So that's my only comment. Thank you.
Well, sir, those are good questions, and I hope you will ask those of City Council.
I certainly will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I just have one question. I don't know if Mr. Pierce or whoever would be the one to answer, but they did change the purpose and need, I believe, for the Silver Bluff widening project, and I wondered how they managed to do that and still keep the funding. Is that something... City Council, how did they, you're saying it can't happen here, but it did happen there, so that's what I don't understand.
Another good question for City Council.
Okay.
Vote.
And while she's coming up, I will say, you know, it is not that we are listening very carefully and we are very concerned, but some of these questions, you all need to understand, are beyond our scope and do need to be taken to City Council. It's not that we don't wish to answer them, it's just not our place.
My name is Kim Vyshinsky, and I live at 869 Hickory Ridge Road, right on the bypass, or the parkway. I'm concerned that there has been no alternative projects looked at. I think there's an ethical issue here. Mayor Kavanaugh is chairman of the City Council, and he's also chairman of the Arts Committee. And he really wants this widening project to happen. And the Arts Committee is the one that can change the purpose and need of this widening project. And without him agreeing to the change, that's not going to happen. So no alternative projects could be looked at. And he's also in control of City Council. They mostly follow his lead. And so I think he needs to recuse himself of one or the other, because he's got control of the arts and he's got control of the City Council. And so I think there's a perception, if you look at it, how is he able to control both or be the lead in both of those? And it's no wonder we can't get a look at different projects or alternatives to this widening project. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it changed. And so we don't stand a chance in that regard, because he controls both.
Well, ma'am, again, you may or may not have valid points, but we're not the body that can impact that.
Well, I just need that. Y'all
and,
can't look at alternatives. There's not going to be any other alternatives.
We're not the ones looking
forward.
Yeah, we're not the ones looking at the design. We're looking at the funding.
But there can't be any other designs to look at.
We're looking at the funding only. However, there, you know, Mayor Kavanaugh is not the only person on City Council. I do think if you have a concern about it, that would be the appropriate place, and others may share your sentiments.
I did voice that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, perhaps again. Yes, sir.
My name is Larry Milner. I live at 32 Deerwood Drive, and I have lived there for 30 years. I've made over 100,000 trips on Hitchcock Parkway, three kids to Aiken High, Schofield, church. Never been late to any of that because of any traffic on Hitchcock Parkway between in the project area. At the ends, where Blockbuster was, at the end, maybe. A number that's been thrown out a lot that drives this project is the 16,000 capacity that this road was built for. That is a theoretical number. The DOT will tell you that because Hitchcock Parkway is a limited access, it's much more efficient than normal roads. Maryland, for instance, uses 20,000 cars for that same situation. So I don't think that is a sole reason to spend all of that money. And if it takes, I spent 30 years as a utility engineer, and I can tell you that what Hitchcock Parkway will look like will not be in keeping with the character of Aiken. The sound barriers, retaining walls, the DOT has shrunk the footprint of it a little bit. Still, right-of-ways that have to be required, acquired, the entire way. There'll be retaining walls, sound barriers that will look like I-20 through Augusta. If it takes y'all turning down the $4 million to get them to look at an alternative, that's what needs to be done to keep Aiken aching. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Manuel? Y'all are in an awful hurry to leave that podium before we get to ask you questions. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this issue? Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Let me make the motion. Write it down because I don't know what to say.
My name is Ashley Nelson, and my husband and I just moved to 861 Hickory Ridge Road this past summer. I wasn't completely aware of this issue because it's our first house. You know, we've never had to look into any of this stuff before. And when I first heard of it, it really upset me. This is because, as I said before, this is our first home, and I worry about the effects of property on our property value. I mean, we're not going to have this our house paid off for. I don't even want to think about that. and I worry, based on the last meeting, I noticed that there weren't many plans for stoplights or anything at intersections that are already rather difficult to get out of. And I realize a lot of those engineers working for the DOT are a lot more intelligent than I am, but that does not seem to be a good idea when there's an elementary school and a church and people like myself that go left and right out of there every day at all hours of the day. Our property backs up to the highway itself, and it would require, I was told, 75 feet of our property to, I guess, make a off ramp or whatever they, you know, whatever they want to call it. The noise from the highway is already, you know, it's already audible through our bedroom. And it scares me what effect it might have on especially my side of our neighborhood to have all those cars running through. I mean, forget if I ever wanted to have small children or anything like that, because I'd be terrified they'd run into the woods and go play in the freeway. I like the idea better of making some passing lanes, because it is obvious there's room for doing that. But I think wasting space in the middle, putting trees in the middle, that's precious feet that could be saved from a lot of our land that's really not necessary. There's trees down the Aiken Augusta Highway at one point, and those things, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but they're a pain in the neck trying to see around the trees and the bushes. And I just wonder what effect this is going to have on my neighborhood and my property and my family. And I hope we can find a solution that doesn't involve that. Thank you.
Okay.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? For Ms. Nelson. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak to this issue? All right, then it is back to the commissioners, and I'll entertain a motion.
Madam Chairman, I recommend that I move that we submit the general the general fund as proposed by the Planning Commission, by the Planning staff, for approval.
Okay, it is also the utility.
Okay.
The whole project is capital improvement.
We've all focused on the general fund. Yeah, the utilities also, which is also
capital
part of that.
Mm-hmm. And the priorities.
In the priorities as designated by the Planning Commission. Planning Office of City of Aiken.
All right. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
All right. All in favor of the motion? Okay. The motion has carried. All right. The this will be before, we don't know yet.
It won't go on to a council agenda. It's just a recommendation to council.
Correct.
They will consider in the budget process.
Okay. All right. Thank all of you who spoke to this issue. I think we learned a great deal. Okay.
Okay, our next item is the proposed natural resources element of the comprehensive plan.
Would you say
it's the natural resources. Yes. No, I did not. Those two, you voted. So he and I.
I'm in opposition.
Yeah, Kent and I would have done something else.
Yeah, I was getting what you were going to do. Because he would have
done it. All right, we still have another item on the agenda, so if you want to continue the conversation, you all would please do it outside of chambers. That's all right. All right, is there anyone, this document has been out for review, is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of it? All right. Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Come on down. Well, your audience has diminished, but I'm sure your input will be valuable anyway.
Well, I still have a job. Anyway, I looked. I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all do a great job. And I'm not doing this because I'm not an insurancer. I admire y'all sitting here and listening to people all the time. Y'all do a great job in what y'all do. And it's time for y'all to quit wasting y'all time on this. Send it on over to council. I'm just get it on over with. It's still, you know, the worst mistake I ever made was not getting my GED. I mean, it's just understanding. This understanding in this thing, I mean, it starts off, the spirit of this document is to encourage volunteer conservation and protect the natural resources while maintaining integrity of private property by owners. Fine. Then right straight down here, under 2, on page 1, it says, establish initial implementation of task and authority. Okay, if you're going to have something on a volunteer basis, why do you have an authority? Who's the authority figure going to be? Again, down here, develop a strategy to implement the vision. Whose vision? What vision?
And it's on subsequent pages.
Yeah, but I mean, the visions, I mean, what I'm talking about, whose vision? To define the, okay, and it goes, again, the natural resources, which was changed from open space, was voted by the people. That was the money. It was not voted for the change by changing the definition.
Well, we did not change the definition. The wording of the topic was changed to be more in compliance with state terminology.
Yeah, but on that ballot, when people voted, it said open space, but the money was supposed to go to. That's
correct.
All I'm saying.
That's correct.
I mean, all I'm saying is, don't pass it on up.
That would be our hope.
Yeah, let's get it. And I can go in and do the same thing, but just
thank you.
But pass it on up.
I'm sorry. Is there anyone else?
Make your face.
I know it. Ed, now remember, you used to be one of us.
Nice to see some familiar faces. Anyway, again, wonderful to see all of you, and having served on the commission, I think, how many years have we been talking about this?
10.
I didn't ask you, I'm asking the commission.
I think most of us would say probably a little too long.
Well, anyway, I seem to remember this went back and forth as to whether it should be handled by the Planning Commission or City Council. But let me just say this. I don't believe, unless you've changed something that I don't know about, there is nothing in any of these documents or any of the discussions that we've had, or I believe that you've had, that would force any property owner to sell his property involuntarily for open space. It would be a negotiation between a willing buyer and a willing seller. So all this business about condemnation, eminent domain, that's, I don't believe there's any,
that's correct.
There's nothing to that whatsoever. So we need to take that off the table.
That's correct.
I don't believe that any sensible person in this town, given its character and the quality of life here, would object to having a plan from the Planning Commission or from City Council, whoever it is deemed to be properly given that authority, given that, I'll say, forget about the word authority, the responsibility to come up with a plan to keep open space. And I would remind all of you and this gentleman here that we have some wonderful open spaces in this town because of the great foresight that City Council and the Planning Commission had in Aiken. Let me give you a couple of examples. The Winthrop Field didn't cost the city of Aiken a nickel, and it was slated to be 24 houses on quarter-acre lots. It is now a gem in the city of Aiken. I've had people come from all over the country and come down my street and look at that and say, this is one of the most interesting things that we've ever seen in a town, because you can walk from 12 and a quarter acres that is used by all sorts of people, horse people, dog people, strollers. We have bluebird houses there, and walk to town. The woods is the second largest urban forest in the United States outside of Central Park. Hopeland's Gardens was approved by a vote of one vote on the city council. It was slated to be a housing development, and it was given to the city. Didn't cost the city a dime. Citizens Park was slated to be a housing development. Now, I ask anyone, would you trade any of those open spaces for housing developments? And I want to hear all about this stuff about growth. Growth is a misnomer. There's something called good growth and there's bad growth. Those spaces are invaluable to the character of this city, and not only to the character of the city, to the quality of life for the people in this city. And we need to have more of it, not less. And I don't want to hear anything about expropriation or property rights. There's nothing in this document that says anybody is going to lose a piece of property by expropriation. Now, you all have any questions?
Couldn't agree with you more.
Bob.
Jenny Stoker, 331 Kershaw Street, and I too urge you to send this on to City Council, not because I think it's an ideal document, but because I'd like to see them do some different things with it. So please don't do anything else with it. Please send it to them. But I would like to go on the record as saying that I am disappointed with the fact that it seems as though, and I'm sorry that all of the committee is not here tonight, because I realize that y'all are not the whole committee, but it seems to me that you just took out anything that was at all contentious or that anybody had a question about. You just said, okay, we'll strike that. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate. On the first page, the natural resources element recommends three steps to begin implementation. There are actually only two steps left, and it's the third step.
We did make that change. That must not.
And I think that third step.
We did make that change.
That there are two.
Right.
So that's a typo.
Right. The third step is the one that I'm most disappointed that you took out, which was to establish a committee, and I think that is, you know, very much lacking here.
That was not a mistake.
It's not a mistake to take it out, or not a mistake to have it.
No, the three should have been two. The mistake was in the three, not in the leaving it out.
I assume that was the case. But I did want to ask, while I have the opportunity, and while most of y'all are here anyway, because I just wanted to know which ones, or did any of you actually do any substantial research on other cities' open space plans and the committees and what the committees do and who they answer to. Mm-hmm. And if you did, I can't understand why you struck this.
We did do extensive research. Well, really, staff did, and we reviewed it very carefully. Many of us got online and did our own research, and obviously came to a different decision than perhaps you did. That does not make it better, worse, right, or wrong. It just
right.
makes it different.
Right. And I think, you know, we'll, again, it'll go to City Council, and hopefully
exactly.
they will have a, you know, a better understanding. I do know, I mean, I did
That's
sit
up
in
to their discretion. You know, we are a recommending body, and they will make the final decision.
Right. So I just didn't want to let tonight pass without another opportunity to say I think that that's, this is, you know, pretty well butchered document, and I hope that they will spend some time patching it up. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
Jenny, just real quick, though, mm-hmm. there were some things that were changed because some members of City Council, who I think are very sympathetic to this document, didn't want to see those things. So we actually, there were some things that I would have preferred be put in here, and got the feedback, public feedback, from City Council members that they prefer not to see that. And those were people on the council that I think are sympathetic to this document. So I just wanted to say that real quick.
Well, it'll be an interesting discussion, because I think you're right, and I think some of the things that were taken out of this, such as the, you know, any notion that it could be, the property could be taken, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, even though that wasn't the spirit and it wasn't the intent and it wasn't really in here, people read it in here. So I think it's, you know, obviously that's, you know, that's a helpful thing. But I think it's unfortunate that there is no committee provided in here. And when you say, you know, we're going to do these things, who's going to do them?
You did note now, well, whereas we did remove the, quote, committee, mm-hmm. for various reasons, some of which had some basis in legality of a committee, who they reported to, whether it was Planning Commission or City Council, there were some issues there. So, but we did put in that consult with individuals who possess the necessary expertise on an as-needed basis.
Yes, but
we did that.
Yes,
that was the compromise, if you want to call it that.
See, I don't think that does what needs to be done.
I agree. It's not strong enough for you, and it's too strong for Mr. Brinkley. You see, you got this big continuum here. You got Mr. Brinkley and y'all are on very different ends of the continuum. We are trying to reach, from our perspective, a median, so to speak, on the continuum. We have done the best we can. It's not going to satisfy you. It's not necessarily going to satisfy him. The judge used to tell me when I was practicing law, when you had a settlement, if both parties were unhappy, then maybe you had a decent settlement. And that may be kind of where we are. Nobody is 100% happy, maybe, with it, but here we are.
And I will say, if it's of any comfort to you at all, this was not arrived at in a very light way. We gave it a tremendous amount of discussion.
Oh,
and I mean, you know, you were privy to a lot of that.
But I was also in meetings when people said things like, oh, I can't answer that now, I've got to think about it, meaning they hadn't even read the stuff. I mean, I was there when people said...
Yeah, I don't remember that.
In a good sense of humor, but frighteningly, oh, you know, imagine how long it would take us to work this into the comprehensive plan. I mean, good sense of humor, but yes, I mean, it's been an awful long time.
And a part of that, in all fairness, was because we've had a major turnover. We have had three new members.
Sure.
And that has taken us some time to bring them up to speed, because we felt knowing the history was tantamount to making a good decision on their part. And I don't know the situation of which you're speaking, but I will tell you there's not a person on this commission currently that has not studied this, that has not done a lot of research, and that has not contributed in a thoughtful way. Whether everyone agrees with the outcome or not, I will tell you that we have done it, I think, in a good way.
Well, I appreciate that because I know that you have put a lot of time into it. And I do, you know, I do appreciate that because it is complicated,
and it's
especially complicated for people who have no background in land planning at all. Thus the need for a committee, I feel. Because when you have an issue like one which, you know, has recently come up, when you have a group that owns property and they consider selling property rights, development rights, or property to city council, who is going to advise them? If you say, contact an individual, how do I know that that individual is someone who has the expertise and is going to advise both parties to the, you know, to the best of the situation? I don't know that.
And that's why we're leaving that to city council to choose those individuals.
And you wouldn't know that if they were on a committee either.
Well, if I knew who they were, then I would say, okay, well, I don't have to worry about that. Or I would say, okay, you know what, I better go to every meeting. You know, but as it is, if you say, okay, we'll contact an individual.
It wasn't an individual, and I think that the individuals that they were considering would be those same individuals that would have been considered for a committee, including the individuals who were in on the ground floor of planning this whole thing, including Dr. Shealy.
Exactly.
Right. So, you know, and I will express to City Council, I don't see any reason not to have a standing committee. They don't have to meet every week. They can advise you. They can advise them. But why not? Why not? I mean, that's the question. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Yes, sir.
To answer the questions, just real quick, Aiken has a character like it is, and the three or four things he brought up, there was no committees in all that decided that. The people of Aiken decided to save Whitney Field. The people of Aiken decided on that. What happens in this town is what everybody thinks. He said, I'm a developer, I'm not this. I'm not. I have realized that the people in Aiken know what they want. If they don't want a Sam's on that side of town, it's not there. If they want to put up a piece of property, if somebody wants to build a housing development, they come in here and they applaud, and they don't, and it's not done. They are voicing their God-given right in a free society to say, this is the way it is. No committee's deciding that. They'll make their own committee. They'll establish their own committee. Aiken is what it is because of the people and the quality of what people in Aiken have always wanted. They want this city. They want a planning and zoning that runs the city. They want a manager, and they have a governing body. But when they don't like what those governing bodies are doing, they will come in here and they'll let you know about it. That's the quality of Aiken. That is what Aiken is. I tell people all the time about my town. I say, you're 2.5 hours from Atlanta, you're 2.5 hours from Charlotte, you're 2.5 hours from the mountains, you're 2.5 hours from the ocean. This is the best place in the world to live. And when you come here, you will like the people. Because we decide what our town's going to be. We have not had a committee to decide what our town is right now. It is what it is. It's a jewel because of people and the quality of the people and the I have to watch the words I use. My wife tells the intestinal fortitude of the people in Aiken is what it is, and it'll always be that way. So it's a great town because of the people in Aiken. They want it. They wanted Whitney Field. They want the Hitchcock Woods. They want it. They fight for Hitchcock Woods. There are people here that come here to fight for it. So like I say, the town is great because of the people that live in it. We don't need a committee to tell us what to do with our stuff. No committee has ever told us what Aiken. A committee could not visualize this town we have. They could not create this town we got. We didn't do it from rules. We did it from love of what we have. We move here, people move here, and they love it. And they're going to keep it that way. They're going to keep Whitney Field. They're going to keep it. They don't want a Parkway. It's not going to happen. They don't want a Sam's. It's not going to happen. So it's the people. So like I say, a committee doesn't need to do this.
Thank you.
Any questions?
All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak to this issue? And it's back to the commission for a motion.
Yep.
Madam Chairman.
Woman.
I'd like to make a motion, please. I move that we submit the natural resource element of the comprehensive plan draft to City Council for their consideration and review to be included as a component of the comprehensive plan because it is consistent with the mandates of the comprehensive plan.
I second.
Second. All right. All in favor?
With the, could I move with a minor change that we pointed out in the meeting tonight?
The edit, yes, the editorial.
And we did catch
the
that.
The 3-2.
So, yes.
The editorial change.
Yes. All right. So let's call for a vote then. All in favor? All right. And this will go, which we don't know which date?
24th.
The 24th. This will go to City Council on the 24th. All right, thank you all very much for attending. Our meeting is now adjourned.
You will have to join us on the 26th.
But I'm going to sit there, don't you? You think not?